All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
Graveyard shift.
Yeah, we're recording this at night, Chris's least favorite time to record, but my most convenient time is I have a work and life and a social life, whereas Chris only has a work life. Sorry, I just put you on blast on air for thousands of people to listen. Which, by the way, speaking of thousands of people listening, we're really seeing a lot of growth with this podcast. A lot more people listening, commenting, dialing in, leaving questions on Twitter, leaving those reviews. So to everyone that's doing that, just, we really thank you guys. You're sending Chris out with a bang. That's definitely, you know, awesome to see. Keep subscribing, keep leaving those ratings. Like, we, for as many listeners as we have, we want more ratings. Like, if they're 4 stars, we'll live with it, but 5 stars are the goal. So please keep submitting those. We want to get to 100. My goal is to get to 100 before the year's over. We're at 58 right now, and that should be pretty easy to get done. If you're listening to this show, please leave that rating. I mean, maybe I'll do a contest for like a jersey or something like that for some people that leave ratings. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But for now, just keep leaving those ratings and let me know that you're doing it. Thank you. And we'll go ahead and get to the show for today. We've got a couple of Jaguars in the news because they're on the trade block. According to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, they both reported that defensive tackle Malik Jackson, running back Carlos Hyde, and Tashawn Gibson at free safety are on the trade block. If you've been listening to Locked On Jaguars, we've been telling you this for months, that this is what was most likely going to happen with Jackson. With Gibson, we saw him being a surprise goner, which, you know, kind of shocking because he's a good player. But at the same time, the Wilson signing kind of gave that away. It's a big cap hit with dead cap being very minimal. So that's just the way they structured these things. And we've been telling you, we've been trying to tell you, and it's happening now. So we're going to go through those three Jaguars, what their value would be on the trade market, who some fits are, as that time is coming soon for them to get traded before the new league year starts. As well as, you know, we don't think Carlos Hyde's worth very much, so we'll talk about the potential there, but then we figured to fill time on that one, we're going to talk about one player that hasn't been mentioned that we think should get traded, or who we would trade for in a situation where the Jaguars make a trade right off the bat. But we'll go ahead and start with the first guy that made the news, the obvious candidate, Malik Jackson, defensive tackle, on the books for $15 million if he's with the Jaguars this upcoming year. Cutting and or trading him would shed $11 million in cap space with four dead. Those $4 million are all that's left that he has in guarantees for the rest of his contract. If he was cut after June 1st, it'd be a $2 million dead hit in 2019, $2 million in 2020. Before June 1st, and it's all $4 million up front. And then he has no more guarantees on his deal at all with any team that he goes to. With 3 years and about $40 million left on it in total, no guarantees. So teams get total control to, you know, restructure his deal if that's what he were to choose to do to get more guarantees, which he'd be really dumb if he decided he wanted to play for the next 3 years wherever he was at with no guarantees, because that's what happens to Earl Thomas. Which case, teams could see that as a leverage point when they trade for him. And at the end of the day, according to PFF, he's still ranked top 10. I think he was 9th overall among defensive tackles in the NFL in pressures. And yet he had the 28th most pass snaps. So you're not getting that production out of a day 3 pick that you'd be shipping to Jacksonville. In which case, I think he's a very, very tradable player, despite people thinking that he's expensive. You know, once you look beyond just the salary and your basic understanding of the cap and really get to understand what's going on, you realize that Jackson's definitely an asset that a team, especially a team that's pretty young and could use that experience and pass rush productivity from the inside, should and would be willing to take a gamble on. So I would say that, I mean, landing a fourth round pick should probably be like the expectation at this point. I don't see them getting much more unless they really, you know, or find a team that's got a couple thirds, something like that, or a really dumb team.
Yeah,
but I think the fourth is a sweet spot, and it's a reasonable expectation, right?
Yeah, I'm sure a fourth is a very that should be their asking price. I'm sure they might be asking for more, but I think a fourth is a fair asking price for a guy like Malik Jackson, especially looking at the defensive tackle free agency market. Grady Jarrett is already back with the Falcons, Marcel Darius with the Jaguars. Some guys that are going to demand big money that are going to give you similar production to Malik Jackson. Timmy Jernigan, Eagles didn't pick him up. And Sheldon Richardson, two big names that are on the market. Jonathan Hankins, you know, I thought he was going to get big money last year, and he ended up holding out, really, and just signing that small deal with the Raiders eventually into the season. You have Holody Inada, Danny Shelton, Earl Mitchell, a bunch of guys hitting the market. But Malik Jackson, I think, might be one of the most productive guys out of all of them, aside from Timmy Jernigan. So I think really a fourth-round pick for a guy like Malik Jackson, I think, is very fair. Like you said, you're not probably going to be getting the production that you get out of a Malik Jackson with a fourth-round pick. So I think that's a very fair asking price. Knowing the NFL, if they're asking for a fourth, they'll probably get a fifth or a sixth, which honestly, I'll take anything for guys that you're going to cut anyway. So you can always package those picks.
Yeah, exactly.
You can package those picks to move up in like the fourth round if you need to, or just getting a fifth back would be nice because the team doesn't have one because they shipped that away for Carlos Hyde, who we will talk about later. But I think a fourth round is very fair value from Malik Jackson.
See, that's my thing, is what grinds my gears with teams in the NFL is that if they don't get their asking price, they don't settle, which is so stupid to me. There's the rumor out there that Landon Collins was, like, reportedly they were asking, New York was asking for a first-round pick, and a team offered a third, and they declined it, so they ended up not tagging him and are letting him walk in free agency. Like, I get you're not getting exactly what you want for Landon Collins, but would you rather get a third round pick that's guaranteed or hope that maybe you'll get a compensatory pick at some point if you don't sign someone else? Like, and keep in mind, that's a year and a half away from that point. So,
well, that and
NFL teams are really stupid.
And the thing is, compensatory picks are based on how much the player themselves gets on the market. And this safety market is getting flooded right now. So
yeah,
they probably hurt themselves really bad by not getting anything for Collins, because he is one of many, many names that continually seems to grow with the safety market every single day. It seems like another name, a marquee name, is hitting the market.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about safeties in our next segment, but we'll stick it with Malik Jackson. Like you said, probably the most productive defensive tackle that you can get right now. And I think that a fourth round pick is definitely a like fair value on both sides. Now, when you look at teams that could trade for him, who are some fits that you think make the most sense, both in terms of being a fit for a need, as well as teams that are able to afford taking him on? You know, whether you can't necessarily say you expect the restructure, because we don't know exactly what the price would look like at the end of the day. But, I mean, restructure or not, teams that you think could take that on, because I've got one in particular that it would be cutting it a little bit close financially, but it makes more sense than, like, than people realize.
Yeah, so, I mean, your kind of favorite has been, I believe, what, the Raiders for Malik Jackson?
The Chargers.
Oh, sorry, the Chargers. The Chargers mm-hmm. has been one for you, and that makes sense. I can't say that I'm very vested in a lot of the teams around the NFL, but kind of going from a quick view, the Colts were a team that I thought maybe they have a bunch of money, so they could easily afford the cap. I don't know how willing Jackson would be to trade within the division, but that seems like a team. Well, whether it'd be a fit, I would have to kind of look a little bit more, but I know their defensive line depth is pretty low. So Malik Jackson, I think, would definitely fit in there. Kansas City, they're kind of shuffling everything up out there right now. But yeah, the Chargers look like the Chargers and the Rams both look like they could be teams that could use a defensive tackle as well.
And the thing with the Chargers is that, no, they don't have a ton of money. They have contracts they can get out of, and they have guys that they can choose not to re-sign on the defensive line, like Brandon Mebane, who plays one tech, and he's 34 years old, and yet they might give him a couple million dollars a year. And there's another guy that they could opt not to bring back. I forget who it is, but none of them are as productive as Malik Jackson. Some contracts they could get out of that would help them out pretty well. And at the end of the day, you're getting control of Jackson's contract, and you could probably restructure it. The Chargers are in a window right now, going 12-4 this past year. This is probably the best team that Phillip Rivers has ever had, and Phillip Rivers is 37. So you got to take advantage of the window while you have it and how talented you have of a team. They have the arguably the best pass-rushing tandem in the NFL in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and Bosa's still on the rookie deal. You can extend that by giving him his fifth-year option, in which case you've got two more years to try and win before giving him a huge contract that could take a huge chunk out of your money on defense, in which case you've got at least for 2 years before you could cut Malik Jackson with little to no dead cap, Joey Bosa, Malik Jackson on the interior, which is a presence they so badly need in a pass rushing perspective, and Melvin Ingram attacking the opposing passer. Good luck beating that. And like the cherry on top there, who's the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers?
Good old Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Bradley, Gus Bradley, the dude who helped recruit Malik Jackson to Jacksonville in the first place. Runs a very familiar scheme. They know each other, obviously. You'd assume that they had a decent relationship because we haven't heard anything else. And like I said, Bradley helped recruit him here in free agency with Dave Caldwell. It all makes sense. I think that like if the Chargers were smart with their money and able to find a way to bring him on, and the benefit would be to restructure him as well, I think that that would be an ideal fit for him. I think that that would be picture perfect.
And I think a surprise team, just throwing that out there, could be the Giants. They have 2 fourth-round picks and 3 fifth-round picks. So if that's the asking price, they need some defensive line. Yeah, teams that
have a lot of picks as well.
So just a quick blurb out there.
Yeah, they make a lot of sense. When we come back, we're going to talk about the next guy, Tashaun Gipson. Does he have any trade value? If so, what makes sense? We'll come back after these messages. So obviously the free safety position, or safety in general, seems to be getting a little devalued as of these tons of safeties have been getting released and opted not to come back, and this safety market is deep. However, what benefits the Jaguars is Tashaun Gipson is arguably one of the best of the bunch on a very, very affordable, controllable contract. His deal was 5 years, $35 million. I've seen Landon Collins going at a projected rate of 5 years, 65. So for a 28-year-old player who, you know, I think is still a good player, he didn't shine as much as you'd want a free agent signing of that caliber to sign at, to shine at. But in fairness to him, he was never more than the third best defensive back on the team with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye here. It's easy to get overshadowed in that role. And yet he still stood out. 2017, he had, what, like 4 or 5 picks? Played at, you know, you could argue him into being one of the best safeties in the league that year, but you don't know that. In which case, I'm sure they're getting calls. I'm sure it's probably not for a ton of value, but like you said, clearing cap and getting something back is a win at the end of the day. And I also don't think they're in a position with how talented the secondary is that they'd be dropping off a ton by losing Gip and playing a guy like Gerard Wilson. Or if they went and signed Eric Weddle to a deal that will be about half the cost of what Tashaun Gipson would be in 2019, because he's 34. His last deal was only $6.5 million a year. He'd probably take a short-term deal, try and win, be a veteran leader in a locker room for a couple of years, and then hang up the cleats. But he's still playing at a high level. He allowed lower catch percentage than Gipson did in 2018. I think he was at 56%. Gip was at 62%. So that'd be a great signing if they could do it affordably. But anyway, so looking at Gibson, they're in a tricky spot with how deep the safety market is, but he's that type of guy that a team would probably trade for despite that. I'd say that the max you'll get for him is probably a fifth, and I could see it being a high fifth to low sixth. So in which case, I think that there are a lot more teams with safety needs rather than defensive tackle needs at the respective prices. But what are some teams that jump out to you, Chris, that would be a fit for Tashaun Gibson?
So that's a tough one because the safety position is becoming so devalued, it seems, and with this market growing and growing, I've actually seen a lot of Browns fans saying they want him back. So I guess I'll have to put them on the list. I'm not entirely sure what their safety group looks like, but I mean, when that tweet came out, was it Rapp or Schefter, that there was teams inquiring with the Jaguars about Tashaun Gibson? I don't know if it was just nostalgic Browns fans or if it's Browns fans that actually like want him back because they know that he would be an upgrade to their secondary. So I'm going to have to say the Cleveland Browns, though it looks like, I mean, they have 3 5th round picks. So if that's what they valued him at, then I mean, granted, one of those 5th round picks was for Carlos Hyde, so you'd kind of be swapping back.
Getting that back would be a win.
So
I think getting that 5th round pick back
would I would even take their last 5th round pick, because I think we gave them 155 or something like that. Or actually, ours would probably be 144. So 144, but I would take the 170 just to get back into that round and recoup some value from that awful Carlos Hyde trade. But
I guess my question to you is, take off your Jaguars fan glasses and look at this totally neutrally as if you were a GM. Would you rather have, I don't know how old Landon Collins is, I think he's 25 or 26. Would you rather have 25, 26-year-old Landon Collins at 5 years, $65 million? So that's what I'm trying to figure out exactly how much that would be per year. I'll let you do the calculation on that while I talk. 5 years, $65 million, or Tashaun Gibson at, I think, what, 2 years, like $18 million with very little guaranteed money left over?
I mean, are we talking from the Jaguars' perspective or any team? Because you're
a general manager with a need at safety. Would you rather have Landon Collins at 565 or Gibson at 218 and then go readdress safety in a couple years with like a draft pick?
I think it depends on the cap now. Like a team like the Browns, they still, I believe, are top five in cap right now. They're building their team through young talent, and sometimes you have to invest in talent. Personally, it's close. I think Gibson gives you a really good alternative if you're kind of strapped on cap a little bit and you want to address your safety need, maybe not long term, but as a good temporary fix. But honestly, I was a big fan of Landon Collins. I am surprised that he's just hitting the market freely from New York. That was kind of a shocker to me. So honestly, I would personally invest in a guy like Collins, but Gibson would definitely be a fantastic consolation to a team if maybe they didn't want to go full committal to Landon Collins.
I think that makes sense, and I get where you come from with that, but I guess the way I see it is how the NFL is valuing safeties is that would have a huge tie-in to me probably choosing Gibson at his rate and age over Collins, just because if I'm paying $565 for a safety in this NFL, as how they clearly value safeties, like I better be getting a world beater. Like I better be getting like Sean Taylor or like a generational safety just at this
and
point.
Earl
I
think Landon Earl Collins Thomas is very isn't good, even, but Earl Thomas isn't even making that much. He's making 10 a year, but granted that's why he's leaving the Seahawks.
He's not going to make that money at all this offseason either. Yeah. I think he wants to, I don't know if he's going to,
I think in his prime, he should have been making that.
I agree, but not at this point.
Yeah.
Was what I mean by that. But yeah, I don't know. I'd probably take Gibson at his price over.
I think the only thing that I think the only thing that
if I was pursuing both in free agency, without it being a set price for Gibson, then yeah, I'd absolutely take Collins. Like from a talent perspective, yeah, I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, especially I think the biggest thing would be is his age. He's only 25, so. a 5 year, you're getting him into your 30s. So you're basically getting him, you're getting a safety through his prime. So that'd probably be the biggest factor in driving that money.
Now, I look at the San Francisco 49ers, and they had a lot of different safeties this past year try and come in and play, and none of them really worked out. 49ers fans that I follow have all said, like, yeah, safety position was the absolute worst. Like, it is dead back there. It needs a facelift. And that at Gibson's price, they'd absolutely take him on and try and have him come in to play their cover three scheme as a center high guy like he's done in Jacksonville. And, oh, wait, why do they run that scheme? Because Robert Saleh is their defensive coordinator. Who's that? He was the Jaguars linebackers coach for 3 years, including the year that Gibson signed and played his first season in Jacksonville. So obviously not the secondary coach, but still a guy that worked with Gibson every day. They were in meetings together. They have a relationship. And the 49ers have a ton of money to spend. They also have a ton of needs that they still need to address. So maybe it would be better than to spend however much money that is on Collins a year, and then instead spend that on other positions and go get a guy like Gibson for like a fifth round pick, because I forget how many picks the 49ers have. I think they might have 8. But they've got a ton of money and are in desperate need. So I think that is the fit that jumps out at me.
The 49ers have 6. They don't have a pick in the 5th round or the 7th round.
Oh, well, never mind. I guess they
have. But they have two 6th round picks. So, but the 49ers
I'd probably take a 6th.
But the 49ers are a team right now that are building. So, but then again, I also then don't again,
know, like I said with like I said with Malik, I don't know if you're getting the production out of a 6th round free safety that you are out of Gibson.
That's exactly it right there. I think burning a 6th round pick to get a proven NFL talent that's still playing good football, I think that's better for a growing football team, or a building football team, I should say, than
especially one that's trying to build lottery. The safety position, like a team like the 49ers that's been trying to build the safety position for a couple of years, because they've drafted a couple guys on the first 2 days at safety in the past couple of years, and they haven't really worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely that'd be an interesting case there. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last guy, Carlos Hyde, as well as trades we like to see the Jaguars make as the offseason looms closer. Honestly, getting a 2020 conditional late round pick for Carlos Hyde would be a win in my book, because the Jaguars traded a 2019 fifth for him and the dude looked awful. And apparently he gave the Jaguars problems about his carries, wanting more. The rumor has it that he was made inactive for that game against Washington because he said straight up, I'm not going to go into the game. Seems like a bit of a head case. I'd be shocked if they got anything for him, especially because he's still going to be a $4.5 million cap hit for wherever team he goes next year. And for a league that doesn't pay running backs, Carlos Hyde ain't worth that.
Yeah, that was a trade that never should have been made in the first place. And if this front office is able to get any type of value, which we've thought about that in the past with players before, Dave Caldwell has managed to get picks for players that I never thought would even fetch any value. So maybe he's able to work the phones and get something. I mean, you've gotten conditional picks for Luke Bowenko, Blaine Gabbert, a few other players that I can't think of right now, but he's been able to get picks for guys that were about to hit free agency and was able to get some value out of them. And, you know, Caldwell has shown that he's been able to hit kind of late in these drafts. So a little better track record there. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something to the tune, like you said, a 2020, like 7th round conditional pick. Maybe the condition is if Hyde, you know, starts 8-plus games, he goes to a 6th or something like that. So that's really my expectation if you get even anything. So not expecting Hyde to fetch a whole lot on the trade market.
I literally think there's like one team that would show any interest at all, and that's Oakland. And that's only because Oakland's GM Mike Mayock, when he was a TV GM, had Hyde as, I believe, his number two running back in the class that he was drafted out of, what, the 2014 draft, I think. Loved him, raved about the pick when he was taken by the 49ers on TV. I had Philip Proust telling me about this the other day, that like Mayock was all over that. And they're obviously into their older running backs, Marshawn Lynch in the past, Doug Martin in, you know, they've got a committee with Jalen Richard, but like nothing they'd hang their hats on. So maybe bringing in Carlos Hyde with one of those conditional picks seems like an Oakland move, because they also have absolutely no idea as to what value is, because Mayock is a TV GM and John Gruden is like a 1990s coach. Like they don't get it from what I can tell so far. So that seems like the only team that would even consider it. But since Carlos Hyde isn't worth much discussion, we're going to talk about guys that we could see the Jaguars trading away and trading for. I know Chris wants to talk about who he wants the Jags to trade for, so I'll go ahead and start with who I think they could trade away. I'm not saying they're going to. I'd much prefer to keep him. By all means, keep him paired with Jalen Ramsey. But my God, if you could land like an early second round pick for AJ Boye and clear his cap space so you can go and be even more aggressive in free agency, because he's got a teens cap hit this upcoming year, if I recall correctly, I would consider taking it and then drafting another young corner with a second round pick at this point, because it is a deep defensive class and there are some corners that should be going on day two that would fit this scheme really well. I've said Amani Oruwari out of Penn State, Isaiah Johnson out of Houston are perfect cover three scheme fits, like what they like to run here. They're lengthy, and that's what the Jaguars have proven they like out of their cornerbacks. That's obviously, like I said, I'd much prefer to keep Boye, but in a situation where you're getting a top 40 pick for Boye and clearing his cap space, as long as they had a plan to use that money correctly and not just have it to have it, then I would definitely consider that. But obviously, that's probably not going to happen. I'd rather keep him paired with Ramsey. Just want to make that clear. We're only getting hypothetical here. Chris, hit me with your hypothetical before we get out of here.
Just a question on your AJ boy. If a guy like DeAndre Baker falls to early second, do you like Baker? I'm just kind of looking at
names. I admittedly haven't watched a ton of corners. I watched a bit of Overwatch at the start of the season. I've seen some of Houston when I knew that he was going to the Senior Bowl. Same with Aruari, but I didn't watch much of Baker.
A guy I think would be good.
But
is,
I mean, I know
Trayvon.
He's touted as a first round guy. So if he fell to the second round, like yeah, I know that he's a bit lengthy as well. Doesn't have ideal speed. You want to look for guys that are lengthy that might not be the best world class athletes, but they can play cover three well. Like that's what they look for in corners.
Yeah, I think another guy, if he were to fall, like Trayvon Mullen. I know he's 6'2". His wingspan's it's not the greatest. Doesn't have the greatest wingspan, so probably might not fit their mold. But anyway, going to a person that I would trade for, a guy that the Jags I think were reportedly very interested when he hit free agency only a few years ago. Right guard Kevin Zeitler, now with the Browns. You know, the Jaguars need to address that right guard position, and it's looking like this draft could be getting, you know, a little weird depending on how the Nick Foles thing shakes out. If they go Dwayne Haskins, if they don't go Dwayne Haskins, they might not be going O-line as early as we thought. We thought these last few years they would go O-line early, and they've really only gone Cam Robinson at left tackle, and that's about it. However,
right.
My only thing with Kevin Zeitler is I am now a firm believer that he will be shipped to the Giants in an Odell Beckham trade. So the Jaguars would probably either have to wow them with an offer or find somewhere else. But I am a firm believer with all the reports coming out, all the player emoji tweets, the Kyler Murray OBJ tweets, that I believe OBJ will be a Brown very soon, and that Kevin Zeitler and maybe Emmanuel Ogba will be going to New York. Just a little random trade blurb. But if they could get him, Kevin Zeitler would be a guy that I would be pretty happy if the Jags were to land him for the right cost.
My only thing with that is the Jaguars had interest a couple years ago and bought at the price. They weren't comfortable paying him that price, whereas the next year they were comfortable paying Andrew Norwell even more. So that makes me skeptical that they'd want to go ahead and then start paying that same contract as well as give away a pick. But I can't deny the dude's talented and that they had interest before, but I'd be wary of it. I don't know if the logic would ring that they'd show a ton of interest, but they have to fix right guard, right? Like, they have to do that. So I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, maybe made a call at the very least. I am interested to see this whole OBJ thing. This is going to be weird. All these Cleveland tweets are interesting, but that'd definitely be one to keep an eye on. But that should just about do it. Make sure to keep your eyes peeled. Let's see. Next couple of days, I'm sure the Jaguars will have some news breaking out there. Maybe some trades starting to happen. And if not, I do expect all the guys that have been mentioned as possible trade candidates to be released to save cap room. And we thank you for listening to us here at Locked On Jaguars, and we'll catch up with you next time.